I want you to take out your Bibles, if you would, this morning, and we're going to look into God's Word. Would you bow with me as we just invite the Lord to open our eyes and our hearts to all that He has for us? Lord, thank You for being a God of mercy and truth and grace. Lord, thank You for all that You are. You do so much for us, so much more than we even can begin to fathom or understand. So praise be to Your name. Blessed be Your name. Lord, be with us now as we look into Your Word. Open our minds and hearts. Lord, give us revelation and application. Stir us and challenge us. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have three questions for you this morning. And this first question, well, the question is, do you want to please God? That's question number one. But I want to put that in this context to help a little bit. If you're a parent, you know how this goes. Maybe one day, one of your kids, you know, they go in and they clean up their room without being asked. You know, I've heard of this. No, it's happened. I've heard of it. And then they're sweet and kind to their siblings. And then what? And then they make this artwork up and they say, "I love you, Mom." And you can put that on the refrigerator. And so at the end of the day, you know, you go into their room and they're tucking them in and you give them a hug and say, "You know, Mommy loves you and thank you for being such a blessing to me today," right? That was Tuesday. Wednesday, you ask that same child 496 times, "Clean your room, please, please, please." Never got done. And they were ornery. And they weren't very nice to their siblings. And at some point towards evening, they looked up at you and said, "Mommy, you're a mean mommy." So at the end of the day, when you're tucking that little character in bed, you give them a hug and you say, "I love you. You know what, though? You kind of disappointed Mommy today. Made Mommy kind of sad today with your behavior, but I want you to know I love you, and tomorrow's a new day." Maybe you've had some of those experiences, something like that. We love our children, but sometimes their behavior is just not very pleasing. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Don. Don Larson, that's who that was. Amen. Well, I want to tell you this. I've run into people, and maybe you have too, where they will tell me, "There's nothing that I can do that would please God more, that He is fully pleased in me through Jesus Christ." And I kind of understand what they're saying in a sense. And certainly, I want to put this out very clearly. Jesus Christ, our Messiah, He is everything. He is our forgiveness. He is our Savior. He is our power. He is our future. You know, He is all of that and so much more. So we want that to be clear. But where they're going with that thought is that it's not that I can do something to make Him love me more, but they're saying my behavior, my actions, neither please God or displease God. He's indifferent to my behavior. And so as parents, it's easy for us to look at our children and say, "No, I am not indifferent to my child's behavior." So we would disagree with that as parents, but I think theologically we need to disagree with that thought as well. There is way the Word of God. We got to go to the Word of God. The Word of God says that there are ways that we please God. There are days when my thoughts and my attitude and my behavior, I know, does not please my God. I am telling you, I know that to be true. Sometimes it doesn't please my wife either, but I know it doesn't please God, right? Listen to the Word. Let's see what the Word. 1 John 3:4 says, "Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Is God not pleased when we choose to be obedient and not sin? Sure, He is pleased by that. Listen to some of these scriptures. And I'll just give you a few. There's many we could turn to. This is Colossians 3:20. This will speak to the moms and dads. "Children, obey your parents." Amen, Don. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Well-pleasing to the Lord. Little ones, can please the Lord. Their actions, their behavior, their attitudes can be well-pleasing to the Lord. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Our ways, our attitudes please the Lord, can please the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Our aim, our actions, are either pleasing or not pleasing to God. Ephesians 5, verses 7 through 10. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once in darkness, but now you are in the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable, or some of your versions could say pleasing. The meaning of that word is pleasing. Finding out what is pleasing to the Lord. So discerning and doing what is acceptable, what is pleasing to the Lord. As I discern and I'm obedient to that, it is pleasing to my Lord. Philippians 4, 14 through 18. Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. Now you, Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus and the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to the Lord. Their love and care for this brother was well-pleasing to the Lord, a sweet aroma. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Hebrews 13, 15. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. To do good and to share, God is well pleased. Hebrews 13, 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Being made complete in Christ, doing the will of the Father as the Lord Jesus Christ works in and through us, is well-pleasing to our God. 1 John 3:22, whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Being obedient is pleasing in his sight. And finally, John 8:29, and he who sent me is with me. Jesus says, he who sent me is with me, the Father. The Father has not left me alone, Jesus says, for I always do those things that please him. Isn't that interesting? That even our Lord Jesus Christ does the things that please the Father. And this is just a smattering. There are many other verses we could go to, but at the end of the day, the Word of God says, you can please the Lord and you cannot please the Lord, and there's a lot of areas in between, right? And I'm not talking about salvation, but I'm talking about pleasing the Father. At the end of the day, him looking at you and saying, you know what? Today, Sophie, you did well. You represented me well. You shined out the light of Jesus Christ. Being well-pleasing. So we can choose to be well-pleasing to the Lord or not. The reality is that we should always want to please God. You know, whether we want to admit it or not, God cares about our actions and our attitudes. And so, shouldn't we care as well? So that first question was simply, do you want to please God? Do you want to please God? And you can please God by the power of Christ, the indwelling power of Christ, by the Spirit, partnering, surrendering, all of those things. You can please the Father each and every day. Question number two. Do you love God? Of course I love God. What do you think I am? A pagan? Do you love God? How do you love God? How do you show your love to Him? Well, how would you answer that? Do you love God, Faith? Yeah, I love God. How do you love God? How do you show your love to Him? Well, we can come up with different things, but it often leads us down a path and leads us down an area that goes astray. So it's always good to go back to the Word of God, right? Do I love God? How can I love God? John 24:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 14:21, "He who has my commands and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Wow. And then finally, and there are a lot of other verses we could read, but I'll share just 2 John 1:6. "This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it." And so I'm not talking at all about legalism. In fact, let's take a moment and think about legalism. There's at least three categories, probably many more, about that would describe legalism. And here's one. The first one is kind of a cold, calculating, mechanical keeping of God's principles, his ways, his law. And it's kind of an end to itself. And maybe part of that is thinking that it gets me somewhere salvationally. But it's not born out of love and passion and relationship. So that's one form of legalism. Another would be you're kind of obeying all the externals, but your heart is far removed from a true desire to glorify God. So to bring honor to Him, to love Him. So the motivation is often wrong. And so you're missing, oftentimes when we do this, we miss the intent and the spirit of that particular area that we're trying to be obedient to. And here's an example. This is Matthew 12, verse 9. It says, "And when he had departed from there, he went into the synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand, and they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' That they might accuse him." They were ready to accuse him. Verse 11, "Then he said to them, 'What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value, then, is this man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.' Then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand,' and he stretched out his hand, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him," Jesus, "how they might destroy him." They were all caught up. They were all concerned about the external, the letter of the law, but they missed the big picture, didn't they? They were missing what it was really all about. The third area of legalism might be adding our own rules to God's law, but then counting them as divine. There's a lot of that going around. Jesus called it what? The traditions of men, right? Matthew 15, verse 1 says, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' He answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your traditions. Hypocrites,'" verse 7, Jesus says, "'hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, These people draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips,
but their heart is far from me. And in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So there's some areas of legalism. So as we ask, do I love God and I want to follow him and pursue his will, his ways, his character, his commands, as I'm pursuing all those things, it's born out of love and relationship. It's not born out of legalism, or it's not worth anything at all. It's fruitless. Number three, third question. As we think about obedience, you know, I mean, why bother at all, really? You can't keep the law perfectly, right? I can't, anyway. You? We can't keep the law perfectly. We're going to fail. We're going to mess up. So why bother? And then there's the grace of God. When I mess up, God will forgive me. So why bother? Why bother? Good question, huh? How do you answer that? We are saved by grace, and certainly we cannot keep the law perfectly. All of us here today know that we fail frequently, right? Frequently. But the issue is, the why bother question is, they're trying to escape God's call for holiness in their life. I mean, and maybe this is stretching it a bit, but it's almost like saying, why should I bother to eat? Because you know what's going to happen, right? I'm just going to get hungry again. Why should I bother? Kyle, why should you bother to take a bath or a shower? Because you know what's going to happen, Kyle? You're just going to get dirty again, aren't you? Why bother? I'm just going to fail. Why bother trying to live a holy life? Why bother? Our Creator did not save us from our breaking of the law, our falling short. He did not save us by the blood of Jesus Christ from the breaking of the law, sin, by His grace, just so that we could turn around and just continue to break the law without any thought to the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the supreme sacrifice, the power that God offers us through Him, by His grace, through His Spirit, to be victors over sin. Once we come into the faith and we are saved by grace, we should see the law of God as an added joy. I am serious, deadly serious. It should be an added joy, a perfect way to strive to live out our lives. Should it not? When I find out some little thing about my wife, Colleen, that blesses her, makes her happy, I'm like, man, okay. Writing that baby down. Adding that to my list. Because I love her, and I want to bless her. And when I find out anything that shows love to her, blesses her, lifts her up, inspires her, I'm going to take note. Shouldn't that be the same way for us? Why bother? What kind of an attitude is that? Of course. It's not a bother, it's a joy. Whenever I find new things about God's character and His ways, ways that I can pursue Him, ways that I can please Him, that's what I want. This is not a drudgery. This is a joy. This is an exciting journey that we're on. Right? Shouldn't that be the way it is? Three questions. Do you want to please God? You can please Him in your daily life. Do you love God? How do you love Him? How do you love Him? What would that look like? What's the Word of God say? And why bother? You know, as we think about those questions, and then we read a passage like Psalm 119, I think it helps us to begin to understand the passion that the writer put into Psalm 119. I want to read some portions of that as we draw this to a close. But as I read, I want you to identify with this writer's attitude about God's ways and His law. Listen to the delight and the passion and the relationship and the yearning to want more and more of God. Listen to him. I'm going to put my glasses on. Psalm 119, I'm just going to read a few scattered verses through there. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I looked into your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I will declare all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see the wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger here in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Your testimonies are also my delight, and they are my counselors. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I meditate on your wonderful works. I have chosen the way of truth, your judgments. I have laid them before me. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive in me your ways. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. And I could go on and on and on. Psalm 119 is an incredible passage. And there's, what is there, like 176 verses. I want to read the last maybe five here. Two pages I set aside. But go home and read it today. Would you do that? Go home and read Psalm 119 today. If you haven't done it, feel the passion and the love and the relationship and the yearning and the crying out that this man had for his God, wanting to pursue him, wanting to know his ways, wanting to honor him, wanting to glorify him. Last couple verses. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Again, we are saved by nothing else but the blood of Jesus Christ. And that same grace, that same blood, that sacrifice calls us to holiness. And it is by his sacrifice and his imputed righteousness and his indwelling in us and the Spirit coupled with his word that gives us victory in so many wonderful ways. And the ways and the commands of God, listen to this as we close, the ways and the commands of God are really a reflection of who he is, of his character, and of his desire to love us and bless us and to give us freedom and liberty. And so his ways and his commands, they're a reflection of who he is. And as we pursue them, we pursue him. And as we honor them, we honor him. Are you wanting to please God? How do you love him? Why bother? God has given us so many amazing blessings, and certainly his word and his ways and his instructions are one of his greatest blessings. So I challenge you today to rethink your attitude towards the law and his instructions and understand them to be words of life and words of blessing. Understand them to be what God intended them to be in your life.